I am Shelley Malin, and I am going to be presenting some exciting work that we've been engaged in, funded work, over the past 18 months at Illinois State University Mennonite College of Nursing. I want to acknowledge that, of course, we know that we don't do work like this without a team. So I have the names of my team members here on the slide, and I have a number of team members in the audience. Mary Cranston, who's the head of our public health nursing program. She's sitting in the second row there, not wanting to raise her hand, who's been a key member of the team. Yvette Pigman, a graduate assistant working with our project, and then Sue Albee, who is a wonderful partner from the McLean County Public Health Department, who's here with us as well. My background primarily, I won't tell you everything about myself, I've been a nurse for 38 years. My background's been primarily in pediatrics and in leadership, with split time between academia and then really hospitals. So it was a reach for me to do this work in the community, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. But it's been good. I have no disclosures in terms of financial relationships to tell you about. Okay, I'm going to talk really a lot about our project, but I do want to just say a few things about where we are. I'm actually from Wisconsin, and as I talked about coming to work at ISU, no one, even in Wisconsin, seemed to know where it was. So I'm going to just locate it for you. People kept saying, are you near Chicago? No, not so much. Okay, so Illinois State University quickly was the first public university in Illinois. Lincoln was one of the lawyers who drafted the documents, actually, to formalize the university. We're medium-sized, 22,000 students, and a small and growing college of nursing. Mennonite College of Nursing, actually, at one point, was a freestanding college of nursing that became part of the university, and that's a whole other story. That's been the case for 12, 13 years now. So I think people see Mennonite and think you're at ISU? And yet that relationship exists, and now we're fully integrated into the university. And we have all different levels of programs for our nursing students at the college. We're opening, we have a PhD program that this next year will be graduating our first graduates with a focus on vulnerable populations, and a DMP program opening in 2013. So here's a map to show you where Bloomington Normal is. We're kind of almost equidistant between Chicago and St. Louis. So it's an interesting place to be. The community is about 100. Bloomington and Normal are distinct cities with a combined population of about 150,000. Two universities in this community. It is a community that has both a mix of white and blue-collar workers. The headquarters for two major insurance companies exist here. State Farm, which is where we got our funding, resides in this community. At Mitsubishi Manufacturing, there are two hospitals in the community and two school districts. So the school districts, people can be neighbors, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. McLean County has had about a 10% population growth in the past 10 years, and I think importantly, with that population growth, a 40% growth in the number of citizens living in this area who are would meet the requirements for being in poverty. So we have increasing poverty in the community. Our project is called America's School Promise School Project, and we reached out and sought funding from State Farm Insurance. Actually, we were invited to submit a grant for some of the work. The dean of the College of Nursing, Dr. Janet Crutchy, part of our strategic plan is to engage in strategic partnerships, and one of our partners indeed is State Farm Insurance. State Farm is one of over 450 companies and nonprofits in the United States that's focused on America's Promise Alliance. They're a member of that, and I don't have time to tell you all about that, but some of you probably know about it. It's really about ensuring that children in the United States have at least five basic requirements to become successful citizens. And the promises are up there. I encourage you, if you don't know about it and you are interested in pediatrics, to take a look. It's really fascinating, interesting work that's going on. we wrote a proposal. The impetus for this really was looking for new rich learning opportunities for our undergraduate students in pediatrics. Like many parts of the country, most of you probably know that pediatrics has moved out of most community hospitals and into freestanding specialty hospitals, pediatric hospitals. I showed you where we're located. We don't have a freestanding pediatric hospital in our community. In fact, our students have to travel quite a distance to be able to get that learning. And we compete with many schools of nursing for learning opportunities. Whether they're going to Springfield or Peoria, they're doing a drive. Having spent most of my career in pediatrics and done teaching in pediatric hospitals, I've always been a believer that really we're only teaching our students a small slice of the reality of pediatric care if we only stay in the pediatric hospital. It's a great place to learn, but really we know most of the kids who are cared for there spend most of their life not in the hospital. And so finding ways to tap into schools made perfect sense. So we reached out, wrote the grant with a focus on, here's our purpose and goals, really working to develop sustainable, mutually beneficial relationships between the public schools in our community, the College of Nursing, and the community at large. I mentioned the partnership around really wanting to develop rich clinical learning sites for our nursing students. We have a goal to pilot innovative evidence-based health promotion strategies to promote children's wellness, provide kids in schools with nurse role models, and then to support children living with chronic health conditions in an environment that they spend much time in, the school. One of the things we've been able to do with our project is to develop a unique clinical blending of what would traditionally be nursing care of children and public health nursing, and allow our undergraduate students to have the school as a primary learning site. We work to have this experience be seamless for our students while we meet the requirements, they meet the requirements for two distinct courses. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about several of the projects that we've been able to accomplish in our evaluation to date of success. Our dream really is to have teams of students working in the schools in partnership with the school nurses and the teachers, the students themselves, the kids, and the parents in that particular school. We've started by having graduate students. All of our graduate students are required to take an epidemiology course. They have to do a project. I go every semester and I share information about possibilities. So they're helping us do some of the work that we need to do to learn more about the schools by the projects that they've completed as well. All right, we have two school districts. And I'm not going to go through all of these. I've highlighted the schools where we're actually working. We've been 18 months, so three semesters of work. We started with two schools, grade schools, and then we've grown. The second semester we had five schools, and now we have 10 schools that we're working in across both of the districts. We chose schools based on a number of criteria. First and foremost, I work with some wonderful faculty who have public health expertise and they know the community well. They know the school nurses. We started where we knew we had school nurses that were going to be ready to partner with us, and principals as well. And then we looked across the districts to choose schools that had students who had higher levels of poverty and diversity. And we made sure that we had a mix of all levels of schools, schools ready to innovate with us. And then also to include both districts, which was very important. This is a community. I come from a bigger community, Milwaukee. I've learned that 150,000 people is small in terms of how word travels. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in terms of some of the things that we've learned along the way. And then we're partnering with many individuals and entities as well. Key partnerships with the schools that we're working with and the folks that work within those schools. Each district has a wellness committee, the health department I mentioned, parents, children, and then our nursing students as well. We've asked them to partner with us, and we learn from them every semester and make changes. We don't have time to talk about all the work that's been done, but what we've done then is we have a faculty person. We actually started testing a model where we had a PEDS faculty person and a public health faculty, clinical faculty working together, and moved away from that model to have one clinical faculty member with expertise both in pediatrics and public health so that it wasn't confusing for our nursing students along the way. And then how do we choose projects? Well, we use the data from the health department about the primary needs or the growing needs, and you won't be surprised by the list at the top. We have significant needs in terms of oral health, lack of access, and then the resulting problems. So our students have worked to design, use the evidence and design oral health education and interventions, and then a focus on healthy eating and active living. So getting the kids moving. And of course, we're not doing that alone. We're doing that with the teachers and with the school nurses and the community as well. We worked to have a first meeting of school nurses across the districts. Now, mind you, they're neighbors with each other. And this was the first ever meeting of the school nurses from the two districts. So we actually did intentional work last year with them. They were hungry for it. They're great partners. And they prioritized needs for us as well from their perspective about what the needs were in this particular community. So mental health and relationship concerns were up there as well. And then, of course, the literature and the creativity of our undergraduate nursing students as well to come up with a variety of projects. Every time we work with a school, of course, that lead teacher there is working with the principal and school nurse to say, what are your needs as well? So we make sure where we can, we're meeting the needs they identify as high priority, and then keeping, I always say, we're going to stay laser focused on oral health and healthy eating and exercise as well. We're just starting some additional projects that I'll talk about in a minute. I'm going to highlight just two of the projects that we've had good success with and that are different or a bit unique in their focus. One is the Healthy Choices Fair that is now going to be a recurring event at one of our local high schools that we've partnered with. This fair, the nursing students, undergraduate nursing students, took the lead in planning, coordinating, promoting, staffing, and evaluating. And they did this, of course, with school nurses, the health department, and with teens who were part of the planning committee as well. This was a great success with over 900 teens participating. They weren't required to come to the Healthy Choices Fair. And then the focuses here were many. This was organized in booths, a primary focus on teens making good choices in relationships and with their health behavior as well. And so there were booths on everything from preventing smoking cessation, sexual health, cancer prevention, violence prevention and treatment, stress management, hearing conservation, and living well with a chronic health condition. We have, I think, an unusually high number of kids in this community that are living with type 1 diabetes, which is another question. I'm not quite sure why. Growing number of type 2, but a number of kids with type 1 diabetes as well. In evaluation, this was a great success, and as I said, it will be repeated again in the future. So you can see the kind of learning that our students are doing by being responsible for helping orchestrate this type of an event. And then secondly, remember I said this is a blend of pediatrics and public health. And so one of our challenges initially is to determine, well, how can we have access to the kids in a school? Anybody who's worked with schools knows that teachers want the students in the seats learning. You don't step on time in the classroom when you're going into a school. And in fact, I think initially there was some suspicion that we might be wanting time in the classroom. Our students do engage in health education at the invitation of the teachers, and we've actually proposed some programs as well. But how do we get that kind of relationship that we want our students to have, where they can learn from a child and a family? With this, we designed the Family Outreach Project, and working in collaboration with the school nurses, we approach them with permission are able to have our nursing student meet a young person living with a chronic health problem, and they're very creative at finding time with the student, whether it's recess, eating lunch with them, meeting with them after school, and they do a very well-planned home visit as well. Again, the parents have said yes to this visit. I don't know about you, but I'm assuming most of you in here are working with nursing students. To my surprise, because I had been out of academia for a while, home visits have disappeared from many curricula. So we've been able to add that back in as an experience. And from the focus groups of our undergrad students, all the good learning that we would hope would happen happens once these are negotiated. We get the students, they're on the family turf, and they go with the plan, ask questions, and with openness ask, how is it to parent a child who has a chronic health condition? They learn more, I think, from those parents and from the children than I could ever teach them in doing this. We've also built in experience with medication reconciliation. They take the record from the school nurse's office, they take that out and they check in with meds and bring that back so that the school nurse has an updated list of medications that the child is using. And then the student, our undergrad students are challenged to create care plans like we always make them do, but they do these for home and for school. And after the clinical faculty says it's ready to go, they send the care plan for home back to the parent along with any materials that they've said they would gather for the family. All right, so what have we learned? Just a few things so far. Importantly, politics are everywhere. I thought I knew a fair amount. I didn't know until I got into school the nature of the political issues that we might deal with in school districts. Each district has a set of players. Each school within a district has a distinct culture. It really calls for exquisite ability to negotiate, to listen and negotiate. Early on, I mentioned that we started with two schools in one district because we wanted to carefully plan with quality what we were doing. Well, I'll tell you, I got a phone call about 2.5, 3 months into that first semester. And we went with a school nurse who was ready to work with us, but I got a call from State Farm, our funder, saying that the other school district had called to say, why weren't we doing anything in that school district? Okay, well, we were ready. I'll tell you, I had made multiple phone calls to try to set up a first meeting. Now I had a meeting, and we were ready to look at making sure that we're balancing out among both of those school districts. Every discipline has its own language and norms. Interestingly, from the beginning, the superintendents were very supportive of us coming, which was great. Both of them somewhat engaged. We have a large school of education at Illinois State University, so their mental model is teacher education. They don't really understand a whole lot about nursing, and so we did a lot of teaching along the way. Our model for educating undergraduate nursing students, as you know, is different. So that was different for the principals. The word supervision and how we supervise is very different than what happens for teacher supervision. So I believe with every meeting, it's an opportunity. I work to have the frame of mind. This is an opportunity to teach and to listen. This work calls for faculty, clinical faculty, who are creative and flexible to have success. We don't want our undergrad students standing around doing nothing in the schools, and yet there are all kinds of parameters around where they can and can't be during a school day. We believe that as we continue to work with the schools, remember we're working to sustain relationships over time, the clinical faculty member from ISU will become very familiar with the environment, and the opportunities for learning will continue to grow. So we use recess time, lunch time, after school time to have contact time with the kids. And work to find partnerships everywhere. One of our faculty, in fact, Mary Cranston, has designed a learning experience for the elementary school kids in concert. She's had her students work in concert with a librarian at the school, and I think that's going to be a wonderful event. We partner with the health department. Recently, with the changes in immunization requirements, our students were able to work with the health department around the community-wide campaign for immunizations. Our students have experience. Because we have funding, they have the opportunity to write small proposals to get funding for the projects that they're doing as well. And the project team reviews these and grants funding for the projects. They've also been encouraged with clinical faculty to write grants to receive funding from outside the university in this project as well, and have done that successfully in one instance for the community-wide immunization campaign. And then the last thing that PDSA, or quality improvement, that's my hospital background, this approach works in the community too. We have worked every semester to have focus groups with our key constituents, take what we learn, and then as a team determine what we'll do next. Our dream and our hope and our goal really is to have a template for how to go in and open up schools for high quality learning. And then we've submitted an IRB for conducting a formal evaluation study in the spring of 2013 with these areas of focus that reflect some of the work that we've done in the schools. We're very interested in looking at our nursing student knowledge and skills. We have only 30 students who are in these America Promise clinical groups. So we're looking to compare their knowledge. There's a standardized PEDS test that they take, and with the students who aren't in this project. What is our hope? That we don't see any difference, that we see no difference. And then we've designed an opportunity to do some simulation work with observers to see skills, pediatric-oriented skills as well. I would love to tell you that every faculty person thought this was a good idea to do this. Some of my biggest challenge as a PEDS faculty person have been with my colleagues in pediatrics. It's hard to let go of the hospital as a learning site. Two community hospitals in our community, one of them has a unit that's a PEDS/infusion unit. Average daily census 2 or 3. I'm sorry, we have to look elsewhere if we're going to continue to have PEDS. But we're going to test it and see. We really believe we won't see a difference, but you know, we'll see if we do. One of the really wonderful projects that's taken off is this idea of recess clubs, where the kids engage in organized activity, both walking and jump roping. And we're going to do some measure of activity level at the beginning and then at the end of a semester to see what impact, if any, engagement in the recess club has made. We're looking at, I mentioned oral health being a primary focus, and we've designed a measure around the oral health education and intervention. State requires collection of dental data at kindergarten and second grade. We're doing the intervention at first grade, and we'll look again at what, if any, difference it has made for us to be doing the prevention-focused education, reach out to the family, and then the intervention that we're testing, we're inviting teachers, with first grade teachers, to work with us to have the kids actually brush their teeth after lunch, which will be really interesting to see if we can get that to happen. I think we will. I do. We're looking at, we'll do focus groups with, one of the activities is to provide support to a support group for teens living with diabetes. And we're testing the possibility of having the older kids, the high schoolers, meet with the junior high group to provide some peer-to-peer support around that transition to high school. So we'll collect focus group data there. We have a parent survey that goes out with those home visits. One of the things we did learn is not to call it a home visit. What the school nurse cued us in that home visit meant you had social services coming in. So we've renamed that outreach project. I still think of it as the home visit. And then nursing student focus groups as well. And we're looking forward to seeing what we learn and continuing to grow. Our intent is really to sustain long-term relationships in this community, keeping our clinical faculty in those school sites working hand-in-hand with school nurses, principals, and the families there. And that's my presentation. How am I doing this time? Okay. Any questions about this? Yes. Okay. Wonderful question. So in terms of logistics, how many students does each clinical faculty member have? Now, that's a great question with schools of nursing today. Our typical clinical group size is 8 to 9 students. One of the things that we learned early on is that from the viewpoint of the school nurses and the principal, a school of about 400 kids could tolerate about 3 students, 3 nursing students. So right now, our clinical group size is 6, with our intent being to test out growing those to 8, so that we've gotten support of administration to keep it to 6 during our test time period. In this particular community, many of the school nurses have 2 schools. And so then a clinical faculty will have students across 2 schools. Now, that it's different in the high schools than that. You know, the high schools are bigger and then a school nurse is there alone. But even in the high school, the school nurses have not wanted more than 3 nursing students with them. You know, the students spend time in the health room, which is another great experience. So that's what we're doing right now. Thank you. Oh, one more? Yes. Yes, the question or the recommendation, have we considered preschool sites? Yes, we have.